WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from HGTV, Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah. I knew you'd come.
Fun facts about the brain and how it starts to deteriorate when we get to 27 or thereabouts. It got me thinking about my head and what I can do to help stimulate it. It makes me sad, but I've forgotten what I'm on about.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at Gerwick.net, MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211, and FightBoot.com. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. It's a Saturday night. We're live because, well, about to take over the stream because takeover happened. I don't know. Follow along at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward on Twitter. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTRLive to join us and interact and talk about the show that we just all sat here and watched for almost two and a half hours because wrestling.
Because wrestling, but oh my God, this show was amazing.
Yeah, it was a great show that had a really good main event and an awesome championship match and then great storytelling. Yeah, good show. And there was other things which we'll talk about too, but we have other people here.
We do have other people here. They need their intros. So, well, first things first.
The NXT analyst, TJ Omega.
Can I just have a nap before we begin?
Well, let Rock do all the plugs and then you can take a nap.
Okay.
Hey.
I'm not recovered yet.
Hey.
What do you mean, hey?
The assistant NXT, the analyst. No days off. From thinking about all red everything. The intern, Kane Kittens.
You make me so happy with that introduction, and then the second half hits, and it just breaks my spirit.
Well, you broke all of our spirits, so, you know, turnabout's fair play.
That wasn't me. That was Naya.
You are blame Brit. You are responsible for injuries.
I can't be responsible for a Samoan girl who doesn't know how to, you know, throw a punch properly.
Oh, no. She knew how to throw
a punch. She knew how to throw a punch properly. That's for
she
sure.
She didn't do it.
She ruined my Sunday.
Wow. She threw it. She threw it.
Wow.
Not a wrestling punch, but a punch.
Well, you know, she ruined all of our Sundays.
Hold on. Devil's fan, Kane Kittens does not deserve the Becky Lynch theme. give him Nia Jax theme.
Devils, we're going to have words later.
Sorry, can't help but laugh stupidly at that. Anyway, we are here. It's not Thursday, so you're not going crazy. And well, Taker was so damn good, we just have to talk about it right now, even though this is entirely pre-planned and we advertise for it and everything. So this was overall thoughts. An excellent offering from NXT. We would expect nothing less at this point. And a wonderful follow-up to TakeOver last year. Would y'all agree with that?
This was better than last year's War Games TakeOver as an overall show. I don't know where I would rank this show in terms of TakeOvers, because they had good matches. But, there's something about this show that just won't go is like a blow-away show, even though it was really good, if that makes sense.
You mean it wasn't lit?
No, we'll talk about what was lit in a minute.
Bro, it was totally lit. I don't know what you're talking about.
Lindsay, I hate you so much right now.
Lit.
I hate you guys. I hate you so much.
Because bro.
Bro.
No.
You want to go get some brewskis? Some Budweisers?
Bro.
I am so over this fucking gimmick already.
Bro, why?
Because, okay... We had our fashion moment the first time he showed up. Number one, you don't wear a hat with a suit. I'm sorry, brah.
Get it right. It's bro.
No, it's bra. It's bra because he's not like most girls.
I thought it was bra because he needs it. I thought it was bra because he needs one to hold in his man boobs. No. No, nothing? No. Fine, screw you all. anyway, initial thoughts. Anyone else? Any takers? Taker. Oh my god, it's Taker. Any takers?
Omega, overall thoughts on this show.
Oh my god. Like you said in the intro, like we had to come on and talk about it because it's so good, even though we announced this and that it was planned. At this point, you can write that in the script. You can go ahead and just put that right there on the format. It's so good, we have to come on and talk about it right away. Because it's true. It's like every NXT takeover is true.
I love how consistent they are in presenting pay-per-views that we just know automatically it's going to be good. Like, just right off the top. Don't even have to worry about it.
Well, the amazing thing is the fact that this one only had 4 advertised matches to start.
Yes.
We'll talk about what else happened. But this one only had 4, and all 4 at least were pretty good, if not, had us going, holy shit. And yet, tomorrow night, we've got matches that we go, oh, well, I can go get a drink during that one. I'm sorry, the tag team match does not excite anyone.
Well, it's
Wyatt's pre-show. Anyway, let's get on with the show. As he mentioned, there were 4 advertised matches, but there was a 5th one added. It was supposed to take place this upcoming Wednesday on TV, but instead it takes place tonight.
Argue it didn't take place tonight either.
Can we really call it a match?
A bell rang twice, so yes, it happened. On the pre-show, they had some words, and then on the main show, Matt Riddle calls out Cassidy to have their match. And bro, was it lit.
It was so lit. One needed a face, it was over, that was it.
That's it.
Matt Riddle wins.
Lit.
Bro.
Lit.
Bro.
Lit.
I mentioned this during that, what was called a match. Do you remember the time in which Cassius Ohno was actually supposed to be a thing?
Yeah, and then he never lost his weight, so he's still not a thing.
He left and came back, and he still hasn't lost the weight, and not that there's anything wrong with him, not losing weight. He looks fine, but, I think they want him to drop a few pounds, and he's not willing to do it. I'm not sure whether they just brought him back.
I think he's more of a player coach.
Yeah, I think he's more...
enhancement talent.
Well...
He's the quality hand that they're keeping down in NXT to work with the younger talent to help guide them through the process. I think that's what his role is at this point.
Because we've described him as a gatekeeper before. He's generally the first feud. He's Riddle's first feud. He's been the first feud for a few guys coming into NXT. It's a good warm up to get them used to the system. As far as weight issues for him, that's been a consistent. That's why he was let go the first time, because he wasn't getting into better shape. But he's still a really solid worker.
Yeah, and we'll talk about weight issues throughout the night. Matt Riddle wins on his NXT TakeOver debut with the quickest NXT TakeOver match ever, because it was lit, bro.
Move on. Just move on.
Why, bro?
We're going to be crap for that the entire night, so just be prepared.
I work on Fraternity Row. I hear it enough.
All right, bro, what was next?
Up next was the women's title match.
The 2 out of 3 women's championship match. Zayn versus Baszler.
There were shenanigans. There were so many shenanigans. And there was a Kiwi wifey involved.
There was an angry Kiwi wifey.
So, as we previewed, we knew the 2 four horsewomen would get involved. They did early. Led to an early pinfall, or early submission victory for Shayna Baszler. Then things got a little bit crazy. When you think they're done figuring out the side of the ring, they just keep figuring out what to do on the side of the ring.
Ow.
That DDT.
Oh.
That was painful.
A float over from a suplex DDT. Kudos to Shayna for taking that bump.
Yeah. Yeah. She then did, she jumped down on all 3 women at one point with the elbow. Zayn got the second fall, so both tied up. And then it was just an all-out fight. And this matchup overall had a different feel from everything else they've done before. This felt more like a fight, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that.
It just sort of had that all-out, let's just beat the crap out of each other, big shot after big shot, and they delivered in this matchup. And you mentioned Kiwi wifey Dakota Kai. She came out after she had enough of watching the 2 other 4 horsewomen get involved, and she took the beating. And then Io Shirai.
The prettiest moonsault ever. Oh my god.
In jeans.
I will give credit to Tegan on this one. Not only was it the prettiest moonsault, but she did it in skinny jeans. How the hell can you do that?
Who did you give that credit to?
I thought it was Tegan that said that.
No, Io. It was Io.
No, but I saw it on Twitter.
Oh, who said it? Oh. Okay. I thought you meant who did it. Okay.
Oh, no. That was Io Shirai who did the most perfect moonsault ever. Please, Charlotte, take notice.
Yeah, I mean, Charlotte's is pretty. Io's is just
beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Stunning. I mean, just in jeans, too. Skinny jeans. She did that. Girl's a boss.
Well, not just that. From when we saw her in the Mae Young Classic, how effortlessly and how quickly does she get up to the top rope, too?
Oh, yeah.
Like it's nothing.
That's what makes it so good. It's so quick. She gets up, sets herself, and hits it. She, like, a lot of people take their time, which you should. Clearly, you should.
She
doesn't need to. She has the agility. Just get up there, set her feet, hit it. And it's beautiful.
It's amazing.
Zayn went to hit the elbow drop. She sort of hit it, but Baszler rolled her over and got the 3 count, even though her shoulder was kind of up.
It was trap pin.
Yeah.
It's something that you don't normally see, and it was a nice little thing that Shayna pulled out that, I mean, yeah, if you just ignore the fact that her left shoulder was about 3 inches off the mat, it still looked nice, and it was still a kind of fun twist on what could happen.
What did not help was the replay showing that the shoulder was...
Yeah, but I think they can go back and maybe use that as an argument to potentially, you know, get another match out of this, but we'll see.
I don't think you need another match out of this. I think you gotta move on. You gotta move on. You gotta get Dakota in there, and she should be the next challenger. I think that's how they set it up.
Yeah.
Or Io. One of the two. We'll get it. We'll be in the picture.
I would save Io for right around WrestleMania. I really would.
You could.
I'd like start to tease that a little bit, but I would go ahead and maybe move Dakota in there and have her feud with Shayna up until it's time to put Io in there, and then just let them rock and roll.
So yes, and still Shayna Baszler, your NXT Women's Champion.
One of my idiots got points. I'm so excited.
She just can't hide it.
God damn, finally. Finally, you idiots, start do something. The last damn night.
Oh, we've been there.
Next to last night.
God.
At this point, we've all had a team that's been there.
Yeah.
Oh, my team's been there. Yeah. For 2 months. It's been agony.
Yeah. Yeah.
My entire team vanished overnight, and they finally came back. 2 of them.
You'll have more tomorrow. Up next, it was Aleister Black versus Johnny Gargano. All right, first thing I noticed, Aleister Black dropped some weight.
He looks good. And his little sparkly silver trunks.
So somebody's getting ready for a main roster call-up, I'm just saying.
He could be.
I want his jacket. That was fucking amazing.
It's a nice jacket.
Mm.
It's a nice jacket.
And then speaking of jackets...
All right, I'll let those two talk about Johnny Gargano. Go.
God damn it, Johnny. You fucking comic nerd. I hurt you so much. For those of you who may not have noticed, or we're just going to point it out anyway, Johnny had teased earlier in the day a little change to his logo, and he comes out wearing the fucking Punisher logo on him.
Of course he does.
I mean, it's not even that he redid his little, like, one eye open face logo. It's not even that he redid it to look like the Punisher skull. You know, it kind of reminded me of, like, the Legion of Doom logo.
Mm-hmm.
But also on the trunks is, like, literally Takeover exactly in the Punisher font.
With Johnny in the Marvel font. If you notice at the very top, it looked like the Marvel logo, but with Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, when you gotta stick to the aesthetic but be a bad guy, that's what you do.
Damn nerd.
This one was really good.
I need about 5 more of these.
The storytelling by both men wanting to hit their big moves was really well done. Like, Gargano was going for the DIY kick, and then Black does his little sits down Indian style in the ring and says, "Hit me with your best shot." Gargano misses, roll up, whatever. But it's like, he's like, "Come hit me, come hit me." And then
come at me, bro, come at me.
And then Gargano did the same thing with the Black Mask. He said, "Come on, hit me," and he ducked it and went for a pinfall, etc. But the storytelling moments that added into this matchup just elevated this one beyond what you could imagine.
This one just had that personal feel to it. It wasn't to the level of course, Tommaso and Johnny, but you could tell Johnny just, this was someone in his way. Alistair is, "I'm getting you back for the months you put me on the shelf." And the storytelling in this was just fantastic. And then it was, of course, the story of the DDT. But Johnny doing the dive out of the ring and hitting one, which just looked absolutely sick.
Some could say Omega Johnny Gargano is sort of learning a lot from the Heartbreak Kid. A little bit. You can see it. You can see elements of Sean, in there.
Sean putting in the work at the Performance Center.
You can see Johnny's just saying there, "Okay, tell me what I can do next." Writing it
just
down.
Teach me. I am a blank canvas. Teach me.
You can tell. And it's really good. It's helping Johnny Gargano progress. What do you think overall, Omega, about this one?
Oh my God. Like, I figured going in this had to be match of the night.
Mm-hmm.
It's up there. Mm-hmm. We've got a discussion to have, but it's up there.
I think there's one that tops it, but yeah.
This was phenomenal. Like, I love the back and forth these two. These two worked so well together. I love the big spots. Gargano going for his suicide dive and catching the knee mid-flight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, such a brutal shot, and it's so well timed. The whole match was filled with spots like that.
The spot at the end is what made it, though.
All right, talk about it.
So you have Alistair pick him up, hit him with the Black Mask the first time. Johnny is laying on him,
on his chest, dead on, laying on his chest.
Yeah, laying on his chest, dead to rights, just absolutely out on his feet. And you have Alistair pull him back and just say, "I absolve you of all your sins," and smack again, knocks him into the middle of next week. Just that little bit they caught on the mic was just beautiful and sold it at the end.
I love how when he does that finish, pulling people up by their chin with his foot, just how commanding Black is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's a moment where it feels like he was toying with him this entire match and he's just deciding to end it now. Mm. Yeah, it's a fantastic spot to end the match on because, well, for one, it's respect to an opponent to have to deliver a finisher twice before even trying for a pin.
Mm-hmm.
But also, that's what it fucking took. Johnny was intense this entire match. Oh God, I need to watch this match again. I need to see it again. I need to take it in piece for piece.
Because there's a lot to absorb and take in than just firsthand seeing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is the perfect temporary conclusion to this entire story, and just the follow through on this story was everything. I mean, from the way that they started this between Johnny and Alistair way back when, to Johnny attacking Alistair because, again, Alistair got in Johnny's way, to now where it's Johnny's just sort of almost taunting him and they're taunting each other. This was just a fantastic follow through. You had Alistair come back and have the exact response that he needed to have, which is he came back pissed, ready to burn the place to the ground and ready to kill Johnny, which is how it should have been. Is it's, no, I'm not going to forgive you till I beat the crap out of you for this, because this is your fault. There is no forgiveness until I get my revenge, which is how Aleister Black should be.
And it appears that Aleister is now the number one contender, based on how they were talking during the match. Like, this was for the contendership, so now we will get Ciampa Black again?
I don't think any of us will cry about that.
No.
He never did get his rematch.
So there you go.
Thanks, Johnny.
This just in, X-Pac has a support dog with him.
Yay!
Because can't leave the dog at home.
Well, that dog goes everywhere with him.
It does. I know. Up next, we had the Velveteen Dream, brother, taking on Tommaso Ciampa for the NXT Championship. Brent, go for it.
I'm not doing it, Rock.
Oh, come on. You know you want to.
I can't sing that.
Yes, you can. No. Come on, bro.
It's going to be lit.
I hate you guys so much. No.
Come on.
We're talking during the match. He comes walking down in that, and all I can say is, God, where is it even in the chat? I can't even remember the exact words I used.
We'll wait.
Was it when Dream comes crashing down and it hurts inside?
Yeah.
It just, like you guys were saying, they did everything they could not to mention who it was, but God, he just embodied
Hogan for a while, he's coming out as Hollywood Hogan. He's got the lightning on the tights. He's got Hollywood on his bandana. He's wearing the weight belt. And then he starts doing the mannerisms. And he's going for a leg drop. And no, it's like, don't mention Hogan. Don't mention Hogan. Everyone announces, don't mention Hogan. No, whatever you do, don't mention Hogan. And then it's like 5 minutes later, he hulks out. And he does the Hogan, like, comeback. And like, oh, okay, screw it. Just
He's hulking up, brother.
Just say it. We look like idiots if we don't.
The best subtle thing he did, he wore the NWO style shirt that said OVA.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Leave it to Dream. Leave it to Dream. That's all I gotta say.
They were really good. Mean for a man who's only 23 years old.
Okay,
it's
all right.
Such a cliche, but it's true.
Okay, and to his credit, every time we see him, I feel like he gets better and better and better.
This was his best performance to date.
Like, oh, every time, we don't get to see him wrestle a lot, which is good. They keep him as a special attraction, and so every time we do see him, he improves. The performance improves. The character gets over, as it were. And I feel like Velveteen Dream is trying to give Taker a run for his money in terms of the biggest drama queen in that company. And I think Dream may overtake him.
Okay. Hey, Matt. So here's going to be his issue, and Omega pointed it out, not knowing it. How would you describe his moveset, Omega?
The first character you ever made in SmackDown versus Raw.
At some point.
Not even the modern games. Like, no, this is old school. When you were a kid, first time sitting down, I'm going to give him all the good moves.
I'm going to give him the stunner, the rock bottom, the pedigree, all of them.
He's got moves of his own, but he seems like he has a lot of fun playing tribute to other performers.
And that is going to be his downside at some point when he gets up there. Because you can't do everyone's shtick up there. It's great for takeover specials. But at some point, he's going to have to define his full moveset.
It worked for Sandow for a while.
And where is he now?
Retired.
Acting.
It worked for Sandow for a while. I think it could work for Dream, not permanently, but it would buy him enough time to figure out his moveset, as it were. But for him, I think what's going to play in his favor is there's so many people who are sort of craving nostalgia that it's like he's willing to hit that nostalgia factor and buy into it and do enough of it that it's like he pulls the good parts of it. And I mean, let's all be real. I feel like he's doing the Hogan thing to mock Hogan because I think comments that Hogan made, like, what, a while ago, a year ago, something like that, where he wanted to manage Dream, or he liked Dream, or he said something about Dream, and Dream, ever since then, has been emulating Hogan. So I'm not sure if he's trying to compliment Hogan or mock him. I feel like he's mocking him a little bit with it, but I mean, I feel like it plays enough into that nostalgia factor that it could help him.
It could.
Like, it's also in Los Angeles, and all night they're playing up the Hollywood angle of just the location.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, I'm just saying at some point,
it's a limitation.
It has to evolve. That's all. But they had a hell of a match.
This is great.
Yeah, like, okay, we had some fun early on doing the Hogan spots and the leg drops and all this, and then they just took out the blocks and ran.
This match shouldn't have been this good, but it was.
No, that's the thing. That's the thing. No Velveteen match should be this good. Every time, like, he puts on a match that we did not expect to be this good. Like, I've learned now that any of my expectations for one of his matches, I need it, like, two notches higher.
Yeah, so here are some subtle things that I liked about the match. One was when the Dream's headband came off and Ciampa was touching it. So Velveteen goes over and touches Goldie. Because reason. You had the Bret Hart ring figure four spot. You had a figure four in the ring. You had everything you could imagine. And if you like near falls, let me tell you something, brother. They had a lot. And then some in this one. So many 2.99999s. Oh, it was great. All enjoyable. We had announcers involved. It was, yeah. It was great. Ciampa pulled up the padding on the outside. The T-spots there. I don't know. Everything else. It's been really good. I don't know. What else you want to add to this one, Omega?
I'm trying to think. This is all kind of blurring in my head again.
That's what it does to you. It's just sort of like it's a blur. It's a blur. Like, all right. This was a really good match. Really fun match. Ciampa's still your champion. Dream missed the elbow drop on the outside because it's like, of course he did. Because Ciampa was hanging over the side of the ring. He was going for the elbow drop. He missed. Hit the outside, then Ciampa hit his DDT finish for the win. It was really good.
I like toward the end, we also had a spot where Ciampa took a shot at Mauro.
Mm-hmm.
Just to remind everybody, hey, I'm the asshole here.
Well, I think it was great because Mauro was talking about, I think it's like what's going to happen, you know, or what's it going to take to beat Ciampa or something like that. And Ciampa heard him and he's like, hey, no, well, bad Mauro.
Yeah, it was that. And he also had mentioned something about, like, Ciampa being a despicable SOB just moments before that. And yeah, it's just kind of like, I heard you.
But the crowd reaction to Ciampa going for Mauro was everything. Because the crowd was like, oh no, 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 sir. That is too far. You do not touch him. He's ours.
He's ours. Ciampa was running around with one boot, by the way.
Yeah, he landed. He was selling up the fact that he landed awkwardly when they did the flip to the outside. And he landed on his foot and he took his boot off. And it's like, oh no, that's never good. This is never a good sign. And then he was running around without his boot.
All right.
Because selling.
Yeah, selling. So you think we're running into the meme. He's only 23 years old, right?
Mm.
On his media conference call right now, Triple H has to remind himself that Velveteen Dream is 23 years old. It's scary to think where he's going to be. It's scary to think where he is now. You think we're running the meme. You think that's what we're doing. They know the meme.
It's not just us.
When's his birthday?
I feel like Hunter is hyper aware of everything out there that's related to NXT. Like, he knows all the jokes, all the memes. He probably listens to the show. Lindsay, not really.
I have two words for you that can reemphasize that fact.
Lit, bro.
Puppet H.
Puppet H.
Which was lit, bro.
So Triple H was the mole all along.
Exactly.
Triple H listens to the show. Hi, Hunter. We Hi, love Paul. You.
Thank you.
Can you bring back Bray?
When he's not running a show, he's sitting there on Twitter going, what are they saying?
I mean, I'm serious. I feel like he is so keyed in to pop culture and everything because it's like, again, he has young kids. So he's got to be, right? He's got to be the cool dad. So he's keyed into everything. And he's clued into that. He's clued into all the memes, everything like that. So, you know, of course, if it's wrestling related, he's going to be all over it. And if it's related to NXT, yeah, man, he is there. So, of course, yeah, he's looking at it like, oh, my God, Dream's only 23 years old. That's a great meme.
Well, I also think it's kind of the idea that he has come up in that time when, you know, the web has become a thing. So they started pushing the online content. And yeah, he's realized that, oh shit, you know, it's not just able to be on TV anymore. You've got to be out there in multiple places. And so he's just staying ahead of the game. Whereas, no offense, Vince is not quite doing that.
Well, Vince is...
Vince.
This yeah. is Vince, and honestly, the times have technology-wise, in some ways past Vince, where I think Vince recognizes social media is a tool, but I don't think he understands the full power of social media, and so he doesn't really push it. It's like things are moving in a direction that I feel like a lot of people within WWE are not familiar with, and therefore they're not going to look into it, aka, you know, putting your talent on podcasts instead of local media, but whatever, we're not bitter about that. Anyway... Or I should say they'll put them on certain podcasts, but not every podcast. Moving on. So it's stuff like that. You know, it's like in terms of technology where it's like embracing social media, using social media. Like we've seen what it can do for a feud just in terms of Becky and Ronda, for example, and how they've been exchanging barbs back and forth on Twitter and Instagram this entire time that this feud has been going on. And it's added another level of complexity to this feud that you don't get on TV. Because you're getting those shots back and forth every day. You're getting that continuity every day. So it feels real. It feels personal. And so, yeah, you know, memes being created about certain characters, I can see how they would, Hunter would buy into that. Because it's just another level for him of, you know, drawing in that fan base and connecting to that fan base and being able to incorporate that somehow into the product and into what they're saying. Whereas, like you said, Vince doesn't. The people under Vince don't do it. Except Hunter. Can he just take over? Like, can we have a takeover, but it's the front office and it's Hunter who just, like, takes over everything and starts running everything? Could that be a thing? Is that possible?
Not yet.
Damn it. But this was really, really freaking good.
Ciampa's still your champion. And then we go to War Games. Undisputed Era versus Ricochet, Pete Dunne, and the War Raiders. Yes.
Speaking of the other, oh my god, he's only like 24 or whatever, Pete Dunne, y'all. Pete Dunne. Who did not get to wrestle much tonight. He was sort of hobbling around on one leg, you know, because, again, Brent.
Sorry.
This matchup was War Game. They added a new element. Like, I didn't understand the cage, but okay, they all get kinky in a small cage and then get into two bigger cages. I guess that's how we do things in WWE NXT for War Games.
And you take all your gear into the cage, apparently.
Including championships.
Yeah.
That's Pete Dunne's. He doesn't give it to anybody. It's his.
So we had team continuity with everyone wearing war paint.
They're matching, y'all. It was cute.
It was lit. Though when looking at Ricochet, it looked like he was wearing masking tape rather than paint.
Yeah, it wasn't a good look.
But they had a hell of War Games. The insane spots.
Hansen should not move the way he does. I'm just saying.
Hansen did a handspring.
Handspring back elbow. What?
He looked like it was Ricochet in the ring, just like two Ricochets together.
Side note, I don't think the War Raiders, I feel like they're violently offended at how pretty Adam Cole is, and they're doing everything in their power to make him less pretty. Like a couple weeks ago they lawn darted him into a semi-tractor trailer, and then tonight they did a garbage can stink face in which row through, not placed, through Hansen and his backside onto Adam Cole's face, and the only thing between them was a trash can.
He just has this face you'll really want to flatten.
I mean, I get it. He's pretty. You're jealous, but come on, y'all.
I have to admit, this is the first time I've ever really seen an extended version of the War Raiders. Holy shit, I want to see more.
Yeah, this is the first real exposure I've had to them, where they've gotten a nice long match. Oh my god. I need more.
Power slam, power bomb. Jesus.
That was a spot that I just never seen, and I watched it, and my head just kind of cocked to the side, like, what the, like,
can we?
Yeah, I crashed at that moment for a second.
Can you're, we you're talk?
Not, go ahead.
Not allowed to be that powerful, you're just not.
No.
Can we talk about the Tower of Doom, at least that's what I think it was, followed by the cannonball? By Ricochet into the people pile. Can we talk about that? Because holy shit.
It was the Tower of Doom that everyone was dead for. And then you had, first you had Adam Cole and Ricochet on the top crawling around. And they're like, what are they going to do? Are they trying to push Ricochet out? Because apparently if you go out, you lose. So they're trying to push him out. Ricochet was holding on. Then you did the Tower of Doom spot with everybody. And then you go, Ricochet's still up there. He's still up there. Double moonsault onto everybody later. Holy crap.
I liked the psychology that Nigel threw out there of, yeah, you see them on top of the cage and you're wondering just what's going on. And then when they try to throw them off, how brilliant of a maneuver that is. I thought it was a nice little touch to the whole thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like there's some logic and there is some actual planning going on here.
Like, yeah, it's not just we decided to climb up and, oh, wait, what are we doing here?
Can we talk about how Undisputed Era had their own chairs?
Yeah. How do you sneak your own branded folding chairs into the under the ring before the event?
I don't think they snuck them in. I think they very proudly walked them in, were very loud about it, and showed off their beautiful chairs to everybody because that's who they are. They're that big of a dick that they need their own personalized chairs and nobody else can touch them or have them.
See, the only thing that would have been better is if Pete Dunne had his brand on the tables, like just Bruiserweight spelled out across it.
No, he needed a little charm on the chain.
We had Singapore canes, we had tables, we had chairs, and we had chains.
And you had digit manipulation.
This got kinky. Like, when Pete Dunne got in this match, this thing got kinky. Really, really, really quick.
No, it got kinky when Fish decided he wanted Pete to be in the cage longer.
Yeah, where he locked him into it. And then threw the key away.
It's like when Fish and Dunn got involved in this whole thing, it just all went downhill so fast. Like, so fast. There's just the kink factor went up tremendously. So we know who's to blame on that roster for all the kinky stuff going on. It's Bobby Fish and Pete Dunn. Got it.
We also know that Kyle O'Reilly is not good with chains.
Well, I told you, he's the bottom. That's why.
5 minutes later, he's still trying to apply a chain to someone's foot / leg.
Well, when you're the bottom, you don't know how to do that. And that's who Kyle O'Reilly is. I'm sorry, he's the bottom of the group.
We then had all eight men in between the rings.
That was such a nice spot right there to signal the kind of end game.
Mm-hmm.
When you have the four guys on either side of the ring, they walk up, they're just jawing, and then as Morrow just beautifully called it, it became trench warfare.
Meanwhile, my idiot self is sitting there going, hug it out. Hug it out. Hug it.
You think she's making that up? That's a true story.
Sitting here chanting it. It's like, come on, hug it out. Aw, they didn't hug it out. Aw.
But in the end, Pete Dunne and Ricochet pin Adam Cole. 1, 2, 3. And those are your winners, Ricochet, Pete Dunne, and the War Raiders. They win War Games 2.
Yay, another one of my idiots got points.
Hell of a main event. Hell of a main event.
It was
No, here's here's the question. Who takes match of the night?
Bro, it was late.
No.
Brock, shut your damn mouth.
Good one.
Velveteen Dream and Tommaso Ciampa. That's my
bet. Yeah, like I said, like I could almost coin flip between the two, but between that match and Black and Gargano, but I had more fun watching the championship match.
I think overall match Ciampa and Dream. I think Black and Gargano had maybe one or two better spots, better moments in there.
Better story.
Yeah, but I would say Ciampa and Dream had an overall better match from beginning to finish.
Lindsay,
I think I liked Ciampa and Dream just a little bit better in terms of the match, but I need to go back and watch Gargano and Black again just to pick up on everything because it's kind of almost a little bit of sensory overload there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm going to go with Dream and Ciampa. Although, I'm not going to lie, the War Games match is also really up there too. I mean, all of them are kind of really up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which, by the way, pour one out for poor Roderick Strong, who has now lost both War Games matches in NXT WWE history.
Like you do.
Link.
So you think it was crazy what we saw. Apparently there are virtual reality cameras set up inside the War Games cage.
Oh yeah, at one point when they did the double the superplex spot, Hansen went right up against one of the VR cameras.
Yeah, you're gonna see that. Apparently there's new technology for the San Jose tapings too, so see how it looks on TV. This was a hell of a show. Hell of a show.
I know we shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say this because I'm a jerk like that. I feel just really, really, really bad for the people that have to do Survivor Series tomorrow, because again, you have to follow this. And I'm sure they're going to live up to it and they're going to do everything in their power to make Survivor Series as good as TakeOver. But this was just a, to me, a really good offering again from NXT.
You're going to see a definite difference in booking and storylines and performance.
So overall, this show was lit.
Bro, totally lit.
But we're
not leaving now.
We're not done. He's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere because we're going to play Fortnite.
We're going to play Fortnite. Fortnite with Friends is coming up legit in like 2 minutes. So, don't leave. We're staying here. Following Fortnite with Friends, it's going to be CB Radio, where the intern's probably going to be dragged onto that too. So he's here all night.
Oh, God.
The beef.
I mean, you made the list. You may as well be there to see it.
You forgot picks.
Oh, yeah, picks. Give us the picks. Who won?
Okay, so in second place, Lindsay, Omega, myself, and the 8-Ball at 3-1. Thank you. Have a good night, everyone.
Who was in first?
Coming up next, Fortnite with Friends.
Who was in first?
Quiet, bro.
Tell me, how lit was I?
I hate you so much. It was Rock 4-0.
That's lit, bro. Omega will be back Sunday night to talk all things Survivor Series as it ends, probably 11 p.m. Eastern on Wrestle Talk Radio. Monday night's Raw Post Show. This week we'll have the Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble Thanksgiving special available Thursday morning for everyone. It's at Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow, subscribe, twitch.tv/WTR Live. Omega.
So, you can find my stuff everywhere on the internet under one name except Facebook. So, you can follow me there at TJ Reviews. Everywhere else, find me at TJ Omega. That is the YouTube handle. That is the Twitter handle. That is tjomega.net for a whole bunch of videos YouTube is not a fan of. I am all over the place.
Brent on Twitter.
I, however, am not all over the place. I am just at Twitter at King Kittens.
And his hole at work.
1,854 days and counting.
It's not healthy. It is so not healthy.
Road to 2,000.
Are we really stopping it too? Lindsay.
Anyway, you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward, LANSWRD. And don't forget to visit our very fine sponsors, Gerwick.net, Fivefoot.com, NGB Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. Everybody, hang around. We're not going to be gone long because we are coming right back. We have to make some changes. And then we will be playing Fortnite with Friends with a fancy new intro, so you don't want to miss it. Listen to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. Till then, bye!
Radio.com.